The Monday Investment Club is brought to you by Omnis Investments. This podcast is for information only and is not intended to be investment or financial advice. If you have any questions, please contact your financial advisor.
Welcome back to the Monday Investment Club. I'm Rohit and I'm back after a week's break. I hope you all had a wonderful Easter and, of course, happy new tax year. Let's start with the week in brief. So it was generally a fairly positive week for stock markets globally, but particularly in the developed world. Let's start with the US. The S&P 500 was up 2.8%, and the small cap Russell 2000, which is basically covering the smaller companies, that was slightly down during the week. In the S&P 500, technology did well, as did casino and cruise lines. Whereas energy stocks and oil prices were down during the week. The price of a barrel of Brent ended down at $63 per barrel, down from $64.9 the previous week. In terms of data, most of the data coming out of the US was fairly positive. Job numbers were up, and there were some measures around the service sector activity, and that seems to have jumped. We also saw the previous week Joe Biden's announcement of a $2.25 trillion infrastructure plan, and that seems to have boosted growth hopes as well in the US. Let's move on to Asia, where things weren't quite as positive last week. So let's start with Japan, who started the week positively. The indices ended the week down in Japan. And this was partly to do with economic news. Household spending was down again in February compared to the previous year. And even though it was up versus January, it was still below what the expectations were. On the flip side, consumer confidence seems to have increased as the COVID-19 vaccination campaign got underway and the economy remained supported by fiscal and monetary policy. However, there was a little bit of an undermining of that confidence when there was a spike of domestic coronavirus infections and fears of possible restrictions on economic activity. In China, we had another difficult week with the large cap CSI 300 falling 2.4% and the Shanghai Composite Index falling 1%. Last week, we saw the inflation numbers for China released, and these were considerably higher than expected, and that weighed on markets, despite the fact that most industrial companies in China are delivering earnings that either beat or met previous forecasts. On other economic data, domestic tourism seems to be close to pre-pandemic levels, which is encouraging, but not quite as strongly from the 2019 levels. The data suggests that China's vaccination drive, they're currently doing about 5 million doses per day, is driving domestic consumption, including services. And this consumption catch-up is expected to be a major growth driver for the country this year. In Europe, the Euro Stoxx 50 rose 0.9% on hopes that injections of fiscal stimulus in a dovish central bank policy would spur a global economic rebound. This despite the fact that individual country stock indices were mixed during the week. It's also notable that the euro strengthened against the US dollar, ending the week at $1.19 per euro. On the vaccination front, Germany is starting negotiations with Russia to purchase their vaccine, whereas the EU Health Commissioner has declined to open such talks with Russia. On the data side, industrial production for Germany and France fell in February, and this raised concerns about the pace of economic growth. In the UK, the FTSE 100 was up 2.7%, but this was partly owing to a weaker pound. Typically, what you'll find is that FTSE 100 stocks tend to gain when the pound falls because many companies in the index generate a meaningful proportion of their revenues internationally. The pound fell from $1.38 to $1.37 per pound. On the domestic front, the domestically focused FTSE 250 returned 2.5% during the week. Today marks the second phase of the UK's roadmap to lift lockdown, with outdoor pubs, non-essential shops, hairdressers, gyms allowing to reopen. I, for one, have a reservation for dinner at a restaurant and I'm quite excited about it. The UK government also announced a framework for how we will return to international travel, which could begin as soon as the 17th of May. So I hope you all enjoy your first outdoor meals at a restaurant today or later this week. On the data side, UK construction activity grew last month at the fastest pace since 2014, and that is very encouraging indeed. So overall, a fairly decent week for stock markets, particularly in the developed market, and we shall review again what happens this week, next week. Now on to our interview for the day, which is all about emerging markets. So in today's interview section, we're going to be looking at emerging markets. Omnis recently appointed Somerset Capital Management as the investment manager for the Omnis Global Emerging Markets Equity Opportunities Fund. That's quite a mouthful. So I've invited Somerset CEO Dominic Johnson to talk to us today. Hi, Dominic. Welcome to the Monday Investment Club.
Good morning. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Dominic, let's start with a simple question. Somerset might not be the best known investment name to many. So who are you? Who is Somerset and what's your expertise in emerging markets?
Well, thanks. And thanks very much for appointing us last week as well. We couldn't be more excited to be working with Omnis. I feel our structure, which is an old-fashioned English partnership, is very aligned with yours. We own our own business. We're all tied together. And let's hope together we can make a great success of this mandate. To answer your specific question, we began as a team about 20 years ago. I think actually this October I'm celebrating my 20th year working with Edward Robertson in global emerging markets. We began at a firm called Lloyd George Management, which some of your partners may have heard of, and then set Somerset Capital Management up in 2007 with an idea to be totally focused on stock picking in global emerging markets. And it's a process and philosophy we've stuck to pretty rigidly over the last 15 or so years and very successfully as a result.
Great, thank you. And Dominic, Somerset Capital, as you said, was set up over a decade ago. And one of the founding partners was Jacob Rees-Mogg. He is obviously a member of parliament now. What's his involvement in the business today? And I guess more importantly, in how you manage investment strategies?
Sure. Well, we do get that question from time to time. And just let me reassure you that Jacob effectively stepped away from being properly involved in the business over 12 years ago. So in 2009, before he went and became elected to parliament, he hasn't really had any significant executive involvement since then. And certainly nothing to do with running the funds. And he formally stepped away from the business nearly 2 years ago when he joined the government. He doesn't even participate in our partner elections and so on and so forth. And just to say for everyone's reassurance listening, we're not a political firm. We have no view on any political matter, on Brexit, one way or the other. Our job is to steward your capital in the complex markets of global emerging markets and try and generate great returns for you through our process and research and portfolio management teams.
Thanks for clarifying that, because I think it's really important. I do want to talk about the outlook for emerging markets from here, but it might be worth briefly looking in the rearview mirror for a little bit. What has the last few years been like for someone like Somerset investing in emerging markets?
Well, that's a very good question, because since we set the business up, emerging markets have not been a particularly attractive asset class. They've firstly been overshadowed by the US tech names, which have clearly dominated the agenda with very good reason. And second, they've had their own domestic issues and problems that we've had to deal with. Thirdly, very importantly, they also came off a phenomenal run in the preceding 10 years. So from 2001 or so to 2008, they went up nearly fourfold, whereas the S&P, I think, went up 70%. And the almost exact opposite has happened since then. The S&P is, I think, up 270%, and I think emerging markets are up about 50%. So, you know, we've got to realise that life is one big cycle. And emerging markets aren't going to perform over, 50 years straight periods. But we do have great periods of performance, normally following periods of weakness. And that's why I'm excited about global emerging markets, where they stand today. In terms of Somerset, we've always run diversified portfolios and we've always had a slight eye to value. And by that, I mean, we just sometimes don't want to crowd the portfolio out with these very expensive tech companies because they carry significant risks. And I'm sure your partners would have looked at what happened with Deliveroo last week when we sort of started to see slightly the deflating of the tech hype bubble. We instead like to look at very good, solid businesses with great growth rates, but not pay too much for them. And we also like to be diversified around the world. So the last few years have been very dominated by China and mega tech in China specifically. And we've tended to run more broadly based portfolios with investments in Brazil or Hungary or Russia or South Africa, India and so on. So we've just slightly lagged the index as a result of that. But the positioning of the portfolio now, given where we are, I think is really attractive. And particularly coming off a period where the whole universe, ex these big China mega tech, has actually suffered because of the headwinds that have been in their way.
And thinking about the path from here, what do you expect over the next kind of 3 to 5 years? And let me just kind of hammer in a point here, which is part of the reason we're so excited to work with Summit is your expertise in the small cap area. And that's part of this mandate in terms of having exposure to the small and mid caps. What opportunities are the investment team finding now that what might play out in the next 3 to 5 years?
Certainly. And thanks for highlighting the small cap expertise. I mean, that's really what we've built our reputation around. And we have a huge team of analysts based in London and Singapore, spending their time just trying to turn over stones, literally trying to find good opportunities that are often overlooked by other investors around the world because they just don't have the access. And then we combine that with a very intensive ESG overlay. So we're trying to find companies that have got good governance. Avoiding risk is really everything in global emerging markets. And then creating the sort of portfolio we've created for you, which has a really great blend of the big caps. So we've got the famous names in China and North Asia, but also a really good range of smaller and mid-sized companies with phenomenal growth rates. So just to set the scene on the portfolio, I think looking forward, there are a number of big trends and the, you know, the rule of big numbers is still very important in global emerging markets. When I started in 1995, as it was a broker covering Hong Kong, Singapore and Malaysia, 1% of the population of India was classified as middle class. And by the end of this decade, which is going to come around sooner than we think, it's going to be 80%. So that's going from, in my working lifetime, from 10 million to 800 million. That's twice the population of the EU. It's the population of the US and the whole of the EU plus the UK rolled into one. So the same is happening in China, where they're adding effectively the population of Germany, France and the UK to the middle classes every year. So these are big trends that we're going to take advantage of in global emerging markets. And it's around the world, also in Africa and Latin America. That's point one. Point two is how we come out of COVID. This terrible tragedy that's befallen us is in no way, you know, a mechanism for taking investment decisions. But you have to look at what's happened. And the US and the West have just pumped so much money into their economies. And Biden has announced, I think, in the last few days, another $1.5-2 trillion of potential spending. That's going to drive exactly the sort of dynamics that emerging markets love. So that's commodities, because we're going to be doing a lot of building, a lot of infrastructure. And you're going to come out of this with a huge consumer boom, because savings rates are actually incredibly high in the West. And again, where's everything made? It's made in global emerging markets. Whilst at the same time, the emerging markets themselves haven't borrowed in the same way that we have to soften the issues that have come around COVID. Sometimes they haven't been able to, but the ramifications of that is they're not going to have the same pressure on interest rates and inflation that we are, I think, going to have in the West. And the last thing I've mentioned very powerfully, which I touched on just a few moments ago, is the discounts. You talked about small caps. We've touched a bit on value. We've touched on global emerging markets. All three of those, which is what we are in, this is the most concentrated version of that, have just been incredibly beaten up over the last few years. And it's only natural to expect a return to the mean. And if you look at the discounts of the small mid-cap section of your portfolio, I think it's over 30%. You've got phenomenal growth rates in EPS of nearly 20%. So all the ingredients that we've seen in the past that allow us to be optimistic about the future for EMs really are there. Plus these astonishing spending project proposals that we're seeing in the West, which, as I said, will just feed directly into EMs.
Yeah, and I think it's important that there is that long-term secular trend in emerging markets is still valid. And to a certain extent, the next few years will push that even further, given what's happened with COVID in terms of moving that along. So thank you for sharing your views on that. For the benefit of our listeners, Somerset took over the management of the Omnis Fund on 8th of April. And what I'll probably do, Dominic, is in a couple of months, maybe I'll invite somebody from the investment team to come and join us.
Yes.
And talk about what they've done in the fund and how they've positioned. Dominic, thanks for being here today. I'd like to just say that, you know, at Omnis, we're very excited to be working with Somerset. And clearly, we think you'll add significant value to our investors.
Well, thank you so much. We're really excited about working with you. I think it's a great partnership of very similar businesses. And let's hope that the emerging markets perform very strongly from this week onwards, and really appreciate your support of us. And we're here to support you too, as you know. So any direct questions, we're very available. We make ourselves completely available for your partners, and hope at some point we'll be able to meet everyone in person too.
Indeed. Let's hope so. Thank you so much. That's it from me today. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back again next week.
The Monday Investment Club is brought to you by Omnis Investments. which is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority.